The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. True that the celebration of All Saints' Day that the church looks at here in the next 2 days with the celebration of the Eve of All Hallows, we sometimes call it Halloween, and All Saints' Day, that actually has its origins in pagan practices, that Christians found a pagan holiday celebrating the dead and decided to baptize it? You hear this claim from neo-pagans and from Christians alike, and it's kind of now woven into the stuff of pop history and pop culture. Is it true? Joining us to talk about the history of Halloween, Pastor Joseph Abrahamson. He is pastor of 4 congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish, formerly served on the faculty at Bethany Lutheran College, and he's author of an article titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Halloween, A Short History. Pastor Abrahamson, thank you very much for being our guest. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Whether or not the kiddos, the kids or the grandkids put on costumes on the 31st of October, what is the Christian church celebrating on the 31st and the 1st of November?
Well, I think probably the basic issue is what was summarized in the Martyrdom of Polycarp. That is, the day is set aside both in memory of those who have finished their course and for exercising in preparation of those who yet walk in their steps. That is, for us today to recognize what God has accomplished by giving faith to his people and to look forward to the day when we also will rise again.
So we're talking there about what the church would call All Saints Day.
Yes. Yes, it's an interesting hold on to the older English version of the word saint for hallows, to call it Halloween or All Hallows Eve, but nonetheless it's still All Saints Day.
Let's talk about that concept of saints while we're on that subject. Help us frame our understanding of the Halloween conversation, too. Most people, and I'm thinking here kind of the average American Christian, when they're reticent to use the word saint because to them it has a connotation of someone who is holier than thou. How would we rightly understand that word?
Well, biblically, the Apostle Paul addresses all of the different members of the congregations he writes to, like the Corinthians, as the saints at Corinth. The use in the New Testament, as well as for the holy ones in the Old Testament, is to those who believe what God's promise is about the Messiah, whether they're living or whether they've gone on to heaven already.
So is every Christian a saint?
Yes, every Christian is a saint, sanctified by Christ and his gift through his word and sacrament.
There is, at the same time in the church, a celebration of, as you said before, All Hallows or All Saints Day. There are people who have, through either accident of history or because they are featured in the older New Testament as men and women of faith, who are kind of singled out for special remembrance. What is the church doing there when remembering the saints of the Old Testament or the saints of the New Testament or of church history?
Well, they're held up as examples. For example, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we have that great chapter, chapter 11, that describes the faith of those who have gone before, and they're set down as examples. And the counterexamples are there, too, as in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 10, when he describes that the examples of the people that have fallen were written down for our admonition and learning, that we, too, should take heed lest we think we stand firm or lest we fall.
How far back does the church's observance, either formal or informal, of a remembrance of the saints go?
Well, very early on in the church, when they were undergoing the persecutions, and you see some of the early documents, they had commemorated the anniversary of the death of some of the martyrs. And then in the second century, Irenaeus wrote down the martyrdom of Polycarp, and in that text we have a citation that refers to an annual celebration that was done in memory of all of the saints, not just for Polycarp. Now, there's no date attached to that as far as which day of the year, but it was a little later in Syria that in the year 373 that a commemoration for All Saints Day was made for the church in Syria, and then St. Basil of Caesarea chose a day in 397 for the church to honor. So we have that, and we have it reaffirmed throughout history, like John Chrysostom mentions a memorial day for the saints in 407, and Pope Boniface IV in 609 or 610 established May 13th as the festival for All Saints, which was later moved to November 1st by Pope Gregory III.
So we have November 1st as a remembrance of the saints from how far back, would you say?
The early 700s is when date of November 1st was chosen.
Now, the bulk of your article has to do with what you call a new mythology about Halloween that's perpetuated both outside and inside the Christian church. How would you summarize that new mythology?
Well, it's kind of an irony of history that a lot of Christians decided to look at pagan sources to try to figure out where Halloween came from, as if pagan sources would be telling the truth about that day. And in honesty, neo-paganism and Wicca didn't really get their start until the 20th century, and most of their calendar and their celebrations are inventions of the 20th century that have this kind of echo of ancientness. They often claim that Christians stole these different holidays, and in most cases, when you look back at the different holidays like Christmas or Easter, Pentecost, Ash Wednesday, and such, there is no legitimacy to any of their claims on these. The only one that I can think of that is a saint day or a holiday that is actually was moved according to the records would be St. Valentine's Day.
So basically, whether it be Christmas or any of these others, the mythology that's grown up around Halloween and perpetuated by some Christians and by people in neo-paganism is that this was originally a pagan holiday that Christians somehow kind of
appropriated or stole.
Stole or baptized? Is that what it, we hear this very often, Pastor Abrahamson.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and the claim, you'll find it on the History Channel. You'll find it in many different books that are used as educational materials about how to celebrate the holidays, whether in secular schools or in private schools or church schools also. There are a couple of different religious groups in the modern evangelical movement that really take exception to celebrating Halloween and look at it as the devil's birthday or the devil's holiday and fall for the pagan lies and believe those lies to be true.
So you are saying that when we see it on the History Channel or it's perpetuated in social media that somehow Halloween is a pagan holiday, Christians ought to avoid it at all costs, that is not based in any historical truth.
It's not based in any historical truth. One of the things that they try to do is use the traditions of the holiday as well to that we celebrate now as examples of ancient pagan practices to try to give evidence that of the proof of the ancient nature of their pagan holiday. But those traditions that we have associated with Halloween today aren't ancient in any way, except for maybe begging for alms. That's the oldest one of them.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with our history of Halloween on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest. He's author of a great article titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Halloween, A Short History. More of that right after this.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're trying to dispel some of the pop culture myths, that pop culture myths that find themselves even among Christians today about the history of Halloween on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest. He is pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish, formerly served on the faculty at Bethany Lutheran College, and he's authored this article titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Halloween, A Short History. Joseph, what is Samhain, and how does it figure into this new mythology about Halloween?
Well, Samhain is a Celtic lunar holiday, and the earliest documents that we have for Samhain come from, let's see, I think it's the 12th century, 10th century AD, and those documents talk about it as a lunar festival of harvest. And so those documents are Irish, and so we have people looking back at those and saying, well, it's Celtic, so it must be older than Christianity, and the claim is that it predates the Christian celebration of All Saints Day. However, even from Ireland and England, we have All Saints Day celebrated on November 1st, as exampled by the Venerable Bede's sermon on All Saints Day. And St. Angus of Tallaght, also in his Martyrology, talks about the celebration of All Saints Day.
So what are the basic claims here of the Samhain myth?
Well, the first is that it predates the Christian celebration of All Saints Day, which by all of the documentation that survives to us is false. The All Saints Day documentation predates anything about Samhain by 200 years. The second is that today the claim is made that the ancients celebrated Samhain on October 31st, which can't be true because it was a lunar holiday. Lunar holidays can vary up to 30 different days during the year, and probably once or twice every 30 years it would happen to be on October 31st.
So,
and then
just to put a point on that, this October 31st is more or less a full moon, but that happens so rarely if they are following the moon's phases for the celebration of this allegedly pagan festival, they would have been celebrating it all over the month of today's month of October or November.
Yes, that's right. And it's the wheel of the year is the modern Wiccan and neo-pagan calendar that they use. They've solarized all of these different dates so that they fall on the same day of the year, whereas previously those festivals weren't necessarily associated with each other in the same Celtic groups, and most of them were lunar, as far as the movable festivals, like Samhain.
And you say there's another claim of the Samhain myth? What's that myth?
Well, the idea is that Samhain predates Halloween in its celebration, but actually Samhain only comes from Ireland and the Celtic areas of northern England. And so when we look at the celebration of Samhain that shows up 200 years later than the celebration of All Saints Day in the same region, we should expect it Samhain to be a bigger influence all across Europe. But instead, what we have is All Saints Day celebrated in Syria and Caesarea, Constantinople, all the way through the Western Church and the Eastern Church, albeit on different days of the year in those churches. But the celebration itself is all across Europe and Asia, well before Samhain is even discussed in any of the surviving literature.
So how would you summarize all of this? The claim that from some sort of Celtic origins comes this pagan holiday Samhain, and that this is the holiday which early Christians somehow appropriated or stole and turned into the celebration of All Saints. How would you evaluate those claims and correct them?
Well, the idea that Christians stole this particular festival or appropriated it for its own, for our own Christian use, it's true that there have been episodes in the history of the Christian church where the church has engaged in syncretism with other religions and kind of adopted their gods as saints or sanctified their days in a way to make them acceptable to the church. But that's not the case with the major Christian holidays. These actually have evidence all the way back to the first, second, third centuries of the Christian church to show that these days had been celebrated without reference to any pagan influence for their choice, especially when you get into things like Easter and Pentecost, which were established in the Old Testament.
And that we should note here, Joseph, that there are similar claims made by neo-pagans today about those Christian holidays, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And the neo-pagans have no problem in looking up things and putting them together without reference to their actual historical value or the history of the holiday that they're trying to discuss. They're very creative in their fiction about their religion and going through like the Encyclopedia of Witches and Witchcraft by Julie and such. They aren't really interested in the historical veracity of things, but in being a creative group or creative groups in establishing their own idea of what worship should be.
So that raises two questions. The first is why you think non-Christians would want to undermine the Christian holiday or somehow revise history on the Christian holiday of All Saints?
Well, probably two basic reasons. First is just not knowing where it really comes from and not knowing how that particular holiday has been celebrated in the past, and what significant events have taken place, such as the start of the Reformation, so that this holiday, just from not being taught or not having learned it, becomes something that people think is foreign and that they should avoid. And then all of the rest of the resources that come at them in the popular media teach them something other than the truth. And what are they going to hold on to? All they're hearing is all of these different ideas that are not true.
Is it an ignorance of church history, or actually history in general, that makes these new mythologies about Halloween so easy to believe?
I believe that's a very significant part of it. It's also probably on the part of us as pastors is just not getting around to teaching the history of these holidays, teaching the value of the church year, why these different days are set aside, and how they've been celebrated in the past. Very often in a pastorate, you have so many different things going on that you have to address on personal issues in a congregation or congregations that getting a large scope of the church year and the holidays that are in it doesn't always work. You don't always have time to do that.
Pop American Christianity has by and large abandoned the church's calendar, the liturgical year.
Right.
And I'm wondering what role that has played in the ability for these myths about Christian holidays to gain traction among Christians.
Okay. Yes. I think this is similar to like anti-liturgical movements where people abandon the long practices of the church in favor of something that they think is more relevant and something more experiential for themselves or their families. And in doing so, they kind of cut off their heritage and they lose the communication that they have with the older generation. I mean, a lot can be said for maintaining the same Bible translation in your congregations throughout generations just so that the kids are speaking the same language as their grandparents and great-grandparents. And then with the liturgy in particular and the celebration of these holy days, I think it's not just my experience but the experience of many pastors that when you have somebody that becomes feeble with dementia or Alzheimer's that you go in to visit them and you start reciting parts of the liturgy, and even though they might not remember who you are, all of a sudden there they are with you. They know and understand what's going on. And this heritage that we have of good doctrinal liturgical celebrations on the holidays and such gives us this ability to connect with the Christians that have gone before, which is the purpose of All Saints Day, to use them as our examples that God has chosen them and God gave them such strong faith to shine, to point the way to Christ, that we also might know Christ and inherit eternal life.
Let's talk a little bit about the place that the celebration of Reformation, at least in the Protestant wing of the Western Church today, celebrates the Reformation. How does that fall into this mix of Halloween and the pagan mythology about the origins of that?
Well, that's kind of interesting, too. There's a festival in northern Germany that's called Martinisongen, and it's celebrated on St. Martin's Day on November 10th and 11th that kids go out and they sue for alms and kind of like trick-or-treating. And even from Luther's youth, you read a biography of Martin Luther, he used to go out and sing so that he could feed himself or get a place to sleep. This modern use of trick-or-treating and all of the paraphernalia around Halloween tend to drown out in the excitement of celebrating those things from remembering what God has accomplished through his saints in the past and what accomplishments he set down for us and how he's preserved his church through the ages.
We're talking about the history of Halloween. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th, getting some corrective to the common mythologies about that holiday, both as a cultural event and with its origins in the church's celebration of All Saints Day. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest. He's author of an article titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Halloween, A Short History. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those traditions associated in pop culture with Halloween, and we will find out whether or not even these traditions have some sort of pagan origin or not, or how recently they have come into America's pop culture experience. We'll talk with Pastor Abrahamson about the haunted house right after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study this hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. We're getting a history of Halloween. Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 30th. He is a pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish, and he formerly served on the faculty at Bethany Lutheran College. Let's talk a little bit about some of the traditions that have grown up around, cultural traditions grown up around the celebration of Halloween that even some Christian churches have adopted in an attempt to be, relevant or an attempt to, kind of an ill-informed attempt to rebaptize Halloween from its alleged pagan roots. Beginning with the Haunted House, there is a church up the highway from me, Pastor Abrahamson, that is famous locally for its haunted house. I think they call it a judgment house, but for all intents and purposes, it is exactly what you'd find at any civic center or any other kind of secular Halloween celebration of a haunted house. And I know that a lot of Christians say, well, if we have this, we'll be able to entertain the youth, give them something to do on Halloween that isn't walking the streets or making mischief. What do we do about the haunted house as a Halloween tradition?
Well, it seems that probably there were some parent-teacher associations in the 60s that got together on Halloween just to keep Halloween safe for the kids and kept them at school and did all sorts of different Halloween traditions or invented Halloween traditions. But as far as a commercial haunted house that would be set up in association with Halloween, the earliest one that we have documentation for, at least that I could find, was from the Junior Chamber of Commerce of Cincinnati, Ohio, in the early 1970s. Now, this doesn't mean that there weren't haunted houses previous to that. It's just that the association with Halloween comes through these school celebrations and through the JC's effort in the 70s.
Pastorally, what is your concern about churches that do, they won't often call it a haunted house, they'll call it a judgment house or something like that, that conduct these things that are indistinguishable with the exception of maybe handing out a Christian tract at the end to their terrified patrons?
Well, I guess I don't have a problem with kids wanting to be scared, but I would hope that the churches themselves would have a good enough understanding of angelology to know that there are no such things as ghosts, and to understand and teach their catechumens appropriately about the ancient enemies of the church, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, so that the celebration could be harmless or it could be distracting from the day.
Another common Halloween tradition, the jack-o'-lantern. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the jack-o'-lantern is an interesting thing because back in the 1930s, I believe it was, the jack-o'-lantern became prominent in the United States. The U.S. Postal Service published a lot of different postcards with jack-o'-lanterns on it in connection with Halloween. Previous to that, the jack-o'-lantern itself really wasn't associated with Halloween too much. There had been carved vegetables, carved turnips and such like that through America and Great Britain. But as far as its association with Halloween, it wasn't pretty much an American invention in the 20th century. The term jack-o'-lantern used to refer to the guy that went around and lit the lanterns at night to keep the streets lit up so people could walk safely in the night. And it was 1837 that it first referred to a carved vegetable. So pagans will point to that and they'll talk about this as if it's an ancient pagan custom to light these turnips or these pumpkins, and it ushers in the spirits of the dead so that they can come into the world and be welcomed. But really, it doesn't have any kind of heritage like that. It's a new thing.
And you've mentioned this a little bit already, but the custom associated with Halloween today in pop culture of trick-or-treating, what should we know?
Well, trick-or-treating has a couple of basic sources that we can find. First is that people used to go around on all of the different Christian holidays suing for alms so that they could feed their families. Either people would do it on behalf of the poor or the poor would do it going from house to house. And so you have that back in, 1593, Shakespeare's The Two Gentlemen of Verona. They have there's a line, pulling or whimpering like a beggar at Hallowmas. That's our All Saints Day, November 1st. So it wasn't even necessarily in the evening. They would do it on All Saints Day itself. But then there's another tradition that came from England called Mischief Night. And that came from, I believe it was the 1790s. 1790, St. John's College in Oxford. And it was done as a school prank, basically. And in Germany and in England, it was celebrated on May 1st. And I don't know if you have this memory or not of making May baskets and doing the ring the doorbell and dodge and dive away from the people to put the May basket on their doorknob. Those traditions with Mischief Night were carried on. In England, that celebration moved to the night before Guy Fawkes Day on November 5th, so it was celebrated November 4th, and then gradually became closer to Halloween, or in the United States anyway, was associated with Halloween in the 20th century.
What about the wearing of costumes?
Well, you know, I didn't really research that. I don't know why the costumes became so prevalent. One of the earliest things that I can find with costumes comes from the 1930s, but I really don't know much about the origin of the costumes.
So it sounds like a lot of the things that, at least in pop culture, we associate with the celebration of Halloween in America are of relatively recent origin, and certainly not of any kind of pagan origin, but more of kind of just cultural origin.
Yeah, you could say they're of cultural origin. That's not necessarily saying that they're still not pagan. I mean, modern paganism claims these things and such. But they don't have to be viewed as pagan, and they don't have to be something forbidden simply because pagans claim them. Pagans claim all kinds of things that aren't theirs primarily, just as they do this holiday. And so a person can celebrate with a dance or with trick-or-treating without compromising his faith or his confession of the faith. But really, the issue is, what are we teaching the kids about the value of this day for them in the church year, and how they should learn from God's word about the value of the faith that God has given them as they confess their Savior, and how they are to be lights in the world for Christ.
So some quick final questions to kind of put a cap on this. Someone comes to you and says, Pastor Abrahamson, it is Halloween is a pagan holiday, and Christians ought to avoid it at all costs. Keep the lights off, the porch light off, and don't entertain any trick-or-treaters. Most certainly don't dress up yourself or hand out candy. What's your basic response to that?
You're living in a mythology. It's not true. and then I would point to the documents about the origin of All Saints Day and explain to them what All Hallows Eve is, that All Hallows Eve is All Saints Eve. Just like we have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we have All Saints Eve and All Saints Day. And these are ancient celebrations of the church, and they're meant to celebrate the gift of faith for those who have died in the faith, who were martyred for their faith, and to encourage us in the faith today.
And then the person on the other side of the spectrum who says, well, Pastor, Halloween is a harmless holiday. Yes, it focuses on the world of the dead and ghosts and goblins, and with increasing frequency nowadays, the gore of death and things like that. But it's a harmless thing, and Christians shouldn't have to have any concerns about celebrating it along with the rest of the culture. What's your response there?
To be careful in the way that we celebrate it, that we don't glorify the violation of any of God's commandments. The sixth commandment with loose dressing, or the fifth commandment with the glorifying of murder and violence, or in any way like that. We can celebrate the day with a lot of the cultural traditions without going into those extremes. And mainly, when you ask little children what's the great thing about Halloween, it's the candy. That's what they want, is the candy.
And is there any problem with that?
Well, tooth decay, maybe.
Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish, formerly served on the faculty of Bethany Lutheran College. He's author of an article titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Halloween, A Short History. You can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Abrahamson, thank you very much for being our guest.
Yes, thank you very much, too. God bless.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on Lutheranism around the world. We'll talk with Pastor Christopher Allman about Lutheranism in Germany. Also, we'll have Pastor Jonathan Fisk review the movies Cloud Atlas, Judge Dredd, End of Watch, and Argo. And also tomorrow, we will study the hymn Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. We have very few days before Issues Etc. 24, and we need your answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? You need to leave your answer by 3 o'clock in the afternoon central on Friday at our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. It's a simple question. Your answer on our comment line, Issues Etc., what does this mean? We'll be playing the answers during Issues Etc. 24, our live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. that begins Friday at 3 p.m. Central this week. Here's the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? And your answer, if you please, at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382 by 3 p.m. this Friday. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean?
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.